We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone, here for the 9 o'clock hour. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, who has joined us for more than a decade now. We'll be on and talk a little football, see where college and pro football fit in with everything that's going on right now with all the teams back to work. Want to check in on the text machine, 305-567-0560. Go ahead, Zach. What do we have today?
Right, the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota 560, the Joe text line. The Big One sales event is here at Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. Special financing offers on all new models. Visit KendallToyota.com or WestKendallToyota.com right now and unlock your special price and special financing rate. All the savings all month long, all at Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. Let me read a couple of them for you they're coming in here. And there are a lot on the on our little pageant we're having right now. Someone just texted in, if you're the husband, you need to grow a pair. You need to tell her to shut the hell up.
Yes, 100%.
Right. Then she'll throw a rock at your head.
Yeah, absolutely not. You guys are nuts.
Right. I wouldn't do that. No chance. I'm walking right away from her and saying I didn't hear it. I feel like she would go absolutely bananas crazy on you.
Then maybe it ain't going to work.
Right,
That's a badass look, man. No sir. Right.
She was going nuts over wearing a piece of cloth over her face. Imagine if it was something that, like, actually mattered.
Right.
Like something serious. Can you imagine how nuts she would get?
Yeah. First of all, anybody that goes to one of those meetings to sit up in front and get their time to talk about a mask and then throw out all this garbage, come on. Mm-hmm. Get a life and a mask. Matter of fact, get two masks in a life.
Right, right. Someone said it's a shame that West Palm Beach Karen is that she's crazy. She's kind of cute.
No, the guy's on to something. I know you guys have seen her.
Yes.
She's what?
She's kind of cute.
She's young. Let's just say that she's younger than the typical Karen.
After she finished, she wasn't real cute to me. After I heard her for about 2 minutes, she was no longer cute.
Someone said Ken probably has an aversion to wearing a mask because it would hinder his chain smoking. Sounds like he's got only half a lung left anyway. Another one says Ken gets my vote. He's got by far the most passion and fervor. So there's a lot. There's you guys got to vote on Twitter if that's the case, because Ken's getting beat up right now on our Twitter poll.
He did sound like a smoker.
Right, he did.
He did sound like he's good for about a pack a day.
Right. Let's see what else we got here. Joe, married to that lady is crazy. She needs help. I'd rather be alone than be married to that B.
And it says 100%.
That's from Bert right there. Bert knows. Get this crazy B off the air. Someone also said, you guys see the video of a guy testing his oxygen intake using an OSHA machine. It set off a low alarm with the mask. It set off the alarm. Okay, thanks for that. Appreciate that. Why don't these people get that about private businesses? They can refuse service to anyone. I don't know if a lot of people get that.
Civil liberties.
All right. Very interesting stuff there. Let's see. Here's one on college football. It says Dabo Sweeney doesn't want to come down and play Miami on a Saturday night, no more than Nick Saban wants to play in Florida. They prefer to play as many weak sisters as they can.
It will be, first of all, find out how this all plays out and the games that get added and who gets them. And I think we'd say right now is Alabama's probably favored again in the SEC, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, that's a bold statement.
Well, I mean, they lost a lot of guys, LSU, but they lose a lot of guys. LSU.
They were allowed to bring in new players, though, right?
Yeah, new five-star players.
Nick didn't take the offseason off.
And new five-star second-year players that were waiting for the first 5-year stars that didn't transfer out, they get to play now.
And the first-round picks that never went to the draft. Right?
Yeah, and the three guys that decided to come back. The hell were they doing, including the running back and tackle?
Right. UCF, that UNC game they had, that Georgia Tech game, both were canceled. If it's not a hurricane, it's a damn pandemic. Yeah, UCF going to have more games canceled if they're playing bigger teams.
Yeah, their national title hopes take a hit with this whole thing, right?
Right.
Did that quarterback that hurt his leg, did he get another year of eligibility as soon as he can come back? I know the leg was in really bad shape. Whatever happened to him? It was like 2 years ago.
Great question. Yeah, it's a good question. Let's see. I don't get it. Why just play your conference schools? You're still traveling to the other schools. It doesn't make much sense. Why can't you just play the other schools anyway? You're still traveling.
I'm okay with a heavy dose of your own conference. It doesn't bother me. At this point, I'm just desperate to see it start and see if they can get most of this, if not all of it, in. And I think college football has the most difficult job of anybody, especially if we're going to throw in you can't play games till the student body comes back. That's a tricky one, man. Not to mention, that sure the hell doesn't help the cause of keeping the coronavirus around once you start adding 30 or 40,000 students, or if you're a private school, 5,000 to 10,000 students. That doesn't help those small little classrooms or the big Berkeley classrooms of 500 or 600 students.
All right, here we go, Joe. We finally got someone in here who was totally pissed at us for doing this Miss Florida pageant this morning. Here we go. It's a long text, so bear with me. Why are you guys shaming people on the air for pushing back against these ridiculous mask mandates? Do you guys enjoy being forced into hibernation and forced to wear masks everywhere you go by our government? These people are simply standing up for our rights and freedom, so it's shameful that you guys are jumping on the liberal left media bandwagon and turning your sports, all caps, show into a shame fest. Hold on, I'm almost done. Disgraceful. Just because you guys choose to live in a bubble doesn't give you the right to smear others on the air. I've always loved listening to your show, but if you guys continue the shaming, I'm out. Grow up, guys. That's from Jeff.
Jeff, I have a response to you that you may not like back. This is not, I don't see a mask. I'm only check to see if there's any politics on. Nope. My mask has nothing political on it. The only thing it's got on mine is seeing a lot of people in hospitals right now and seeing these numbers spiking up. So right. If you have a right to your opinion that you don't believe this is real and that there's really no problem, and apparently you think the way left is out to just destroy your job, God only knows where you come from and why the hell you think that, but you don't think these numbers are real, and I do, and there's a big difference.
Right.
And I don't care who you vote for. I don't give a crap who you vote for in November, but you and I got some big disagreements, man, as far as this thing goes. I think they're all whack jobs. And by the way, if you thought that stuff that they were spitting out was normal, the way they spit it out, we have to check you in as well. That's what I'm thinking about right now. Hey, we got Mike Florio. He'll get everybody fired up.
Mike Florio,
you guys can make Mike all political. Oh, yeah, you guys get him. Mike would be a good one to jump on. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. God, did he hit a jackpot. Hey, right now, I want to talk before we get to Mike about sports-related injuries. Sooner or later, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or independent, I just want to let you know Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute ranks top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation by U.S. News and World Report, not by me, by people who are really smart. Hey, listen, people ask me all the time, where do the pros go? Because let's face it, if they're good enough to see the top high school, college, and professional athletes in town, those are the doctors you want to see, the experience, the technology, the success rate. That's why Inter Miami, Heat, Panthers, and Dolphins, FIU, they all trust the doctors at Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. And you will too, no matter what part of the body you have and you've had an injury with. It sure is nice to know they've operated and fixed that over and over again. It's about success. It's about getting back out playing the sports we love the most and getting back to the good days. And that's why it sure is nice to have one of the top sports medicine programs in the country right here in our backyard. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today.
You're going to work on my teeth, not my nose. I don't wear a mask getting my teeth cleaned.
But it's about the safety of all of our...
Fine, I'll cover my mouth. Can I go be seated now?
No, because you're not filling out the forms or letting us take your temperature. It's about protecting our...
You can't take my temperature. Everybody. That's against the law.
All right, well, I can't...
You're not an MD.
We're not allowed to... We can't see you.
I have a right to sue you for harassing me, the manager, and this entire company, Smile, whatever you call it, dental. I do have that right, and I talked to my attorney before I came here, too. Okay. So does he want that to happen? I've waited long enough for my teeth to be cleaned, okay? Let's get this done, okay?
I can't. Yeah. They're telling me I can't see you.
Who's there?
The owner of the practice.
I want to hear him. Get him on the phone. He has to send me in written writing, too.
First
I want to see your policy.
You shouldn't be in the building without a mask, either.
I can do what I want.
No,
I'm
you
free.
Can't.
It's
this
not
is a
law.
Medical office.
It's not a law.
This is a medical office.
No, the dental office.
Ah, the perfect way to bring in our next guest on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. We'd like to give you the audio from Dentist Karen this week, as we like to give you Karen every week. Good morning and welcome to the show, Mike.
I really enjoyed the part where she says she wants it in written writing.
Right, right.
As opposed to any other kind of writing. Spoken writing would not be acceptable. Written writing is what I must have.
Written writing from my attorney told me I needed a written writing, right?
Oh, Mike.
Jeez. Yeah.
By the way, she called her attorney before she knew that was going to happen, so she called her attorney, tried to scare the hell out of him. It didn't work. So,
yeah, I always call my lawyer before I go to the dentist office.
Right. What's better than talking to your lawyer before a little fluoride? Right.
I also call my dentist before I go to the lawyer's office, just so it's
yeah, right.
Oh, Mike. Hey, Mike, we got a lot of stuff going on. College football trying to grab things away a little bit. We saw the move by the Big Ten. It's starting to look like, especially with all the positive tests they've had at all these campuses right now for the players that are working out again, they're going to slide their season back a little bit, don't you think? At least a month or two.
Yep. The Washington Nationals pitcher this week, I can't remember his name, but he said sports is a reward for a functional society. Here's the example I'll give you. Earlier this week, it was reported that the Premier League in England is going to resume its new season. It's still finishing up the carryover. It's going to start its new season September 12th with 30 to 50% of the stands filled with fans. At about the same time, we're going to be starting an NFL season with no fans. I think the way it's going for college football, it's going to be a very, very hard time for any of those teams to play. And it's all because one country took the virus seriously and the other country didn't. And this is where we are. And this has nothing to do with whether and to what extent the various sports can put together an effective way of testing and keeping guys safe and figuring out how not to spread football when 11 on 11 are playing on a field and they're pressed together in a scrum. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is the fact that the virus is running rampant through way too many American states. I mean, when Texas is talking about not having high school football, that tells you how serious it is. That's the problem. And another issue to keep an eye on, and I'm going to be writing something about this here in a little while, as we get sports back, whether it's basketball in Orlando or the MLS, which has its bubble tournament happening, when you are trying to turn around test results in 24 to 48 hours for these players, you are putting a strain on the resources that are available for the public. And now that we are in a crisis bigger than the one that we had back in March and April, those resources are even more important for the public. So that's another dynamic. That's an ethical dynamic that's going to come to play for football, whether it's NFL, college, or anyone else. So I don't think there's going to be college football. If I had to bet right now, I'm betting the under. I think this conference-only thing is the first step toward acknowledging the reality that it just can't work at the college level this year.
Wow. Very interesting there. Yeah, I thought it was interesting what college football did yesterday, and the NFL still, they're not worried about anything yet, right? I mean, outside of the preseason games and past that, they're not worried. I mean, worried, yes, in the back of their minds, but they're not ready to make any kind of announcements on anything yet like college football is.
Well, the NFL is bound and determined to go forward. There's too much money.
Right.
In play to not go forward. And it's easier for the NFL to say, we are going to get this done, because they're not dealing with that same facade that college football has, where the athletes are also students and, you know, they don't get paid. And think about it. Everyone who's playing football this year is going to take a heightened risk, whether it's a direct risk for them or for family members or anyone they come into contact with. So you can say, well, NFL players get paid. That's part of the risk they're getting paid for, even though they had no idea this was a risk they were going to encounter. For college players, it's a lot harder to throw that log on top of the fire that already consists of them putting in time, putting in effort, taking on physical risks whenever they practice or play. Now we've got this medical risk that gets thrown on top of it. I think it becomes so much more difficult for these colleges that are chasing the dollar to continue that chase with these players who are essentially pieces of a bigger machine. You have to at some point admit that that's the scam, that that's what's going on if you're bound and determined to go forward with college football in a pandemic.
By the way, we had Drew Rosenhaus, and I know you wrote about it even before we had Drew on, talking about Patrick Mahomes' contract and lack of guaranteed money, and he just flat out said it was a bad contract, just not a good one at all, and it could have been a lot better. What do you think overall about what Patrick Mahomes obviously wanted, a long-term contract instead of a 4 or 5 year deal? What do you think overall, Mike?
Well, it's fine to want a long-term contract, but the problem is when you commit for 12 years, you are surrendering any ability to control what may happen in the future. The salary cap, once we get through the pandemic, once more and more states have legalized gambling and more money flows into the NFL's coffers, the salary cap could go from $200 million a year to $300, $350, $400 million a year. The market at the quarterback position could explode. And there's nothing Patrick Mahomes has that allows him to force the Chiefs to fix it. Now, maybe they'll decide out of the kindness of their heart to do so, but 12 years is a long time. Andy Reid, you know, he says he's going to coach into his 70s. There's no guarantee that he's going to be the head coach in 12 years. The guy who goes to Clark Hunt, the owner of the team, and says, we got to take care of this guy. We got to rip up the contract. Hell, for all we know, Clark Hunt's going to decide to sell the team in the next 12 years. We just don't know. It's too long of a period of time to lock yourself in to a deal that really is still a one-way contract where they can rip it up whenever they want. And I know that there are mechanisms in there that make it expensive for the Chiefs to do that. But still, Mahomes commits for 12 years. The better play is to go 3 or 4 years at a time. That's why you hear that Dak Prescott wants a 4-year deal from the Cowboys. Deshaun Watson wants a 3-year extension from the Texans. It's always better to get back to the table sooner rather than later as the salary cap goes up and up and as the market goes up and up. And when I first saw that it was a 12-year deal from Mahomes, I thought, hey, we finally have a guy who is going to be guaranteed a percentage of the salary cap. That's what I assumed was in the deal because I thought that's the only way you can justify signing for that long, is that knowing you're going to get 17, 18, 19% of whatever the cap is in any given year.
Mike, the other thing is the, I'm sorry, Zach, I was going to ask you about Daniel Snyder and this Washington Redskin situation going on. I didn't realize his limited partners. First of all, I didn't know he had them. I thought he owned the whole thing. Second of all, how much do they dislike this guy that they're willing, like, we want out? Did that surprise you, or did you know about that before?
I didn't know about it before. The first sign of it came last Thursday when FedEx issued its statement asking the team to change the name. The founder of FedEx, Fred Smith, is one of those limited partners in the Washington franchise. And then I started to catch wind of the fact that the limited partners weren't happy with Daniel Snyder. I started making some phone calls on Sunday, and I found out that Fred Smith and a guy named Dwight Schar, one of the other limited partners, have been trying for a while to sell out their interests and haven't been able to find a buyer. Robert Rothman is the third limited partner. The Washington Post reported Sunday that he's also trying to sell. So you've got three guys who own reportedly roughly 40% of the team trying to sell. And you know, the end result could be that Snyder's the one who sells. And it could be someone like Jeff Bezos comes in and buys the full 100% or buys the 60% that Snyder holds. But, you know, the problem with being a limited partner or a minority owner in an NFL team, in most cities, you don't have anything. You don't have any say. You just get a little chunk of the profits, and you're able to say, hey, I've got this piece of a property that keeps appreciating, so at some point I can sell it and make more money. But, look, these guys are trying to sell, and they can't find a buyer. You don't have any say in how the team is run. And when you're talking about a team that is run poorly, like Washington has been for the last 20 years, who wants to be part of that?
I wanted to go through the Deshaun Jackson stuff with you. Are the Eagles going to do anything to DeSean Jackson? Is anything going to happen with DeSean Jackson? I know that Julian Edelman came out and has invited him to go to the, you know, the National Holocaust Museum in Washington. But is this going to go a lot further with the Eagles organization, DeSean Jackson?
Well, I think that if anything was going to happen, it would have happened by now. And I look, what he did was either ridiculously ignorant or ridiculously anti-Semitic. There's no middle ground there. Right. It's one or the other. And it was stupid, and it was ill-advised, and it shouldn't have happened. And, you know, there's a segment of the media that is yelling and screaming that DeSean Jackson isn't facing the same consequences that Drew Brees faced when he had that moment a few weeks back where he reiterated his position that it's disrespectful to not stand for the national anthem. Well, I think that DeSean Jackson is getting the same thing that Drew Brees got, which is widely criticized, widely condemned, and widely questioned and forced to apologize. And, you know, the question from the Eagles standpoint is a very simple one. And this, I think, applies anytime a guy gets in trouble, right, and does something short of something that immediately requires termination of employment, like when Aaron Hernandez got arrested for killing a guy 7 years ago. The Patriots couldn't go through the usual balance of factors that happens when a guy gets in trouble. But usually, and we know this happens in all sports leagues and teams, you look at the guy and you ask yourself, wait a minute, okay, is this a guy who was undrafted, who just walked through the door? If DeSean Jackson was the 89th guy on a 90-man roster, he's already gone. It's a no-brainer. See you later, you're out of here. The more important you are to the team, the more inclined the team is going to be to find a way to make it work. You throw on top of it $4.8 million in fully guaranteed salary for DeSean Jackson this year, and I've looked at the language in his contract. They probably can't wipe out those guarantees based upon what he did on social media. So they're going to owe him the money. And then if you cut him loose, you're running the risk that he's going to get his redemption, maybe with the Giants, Cowboys, or Washington, and you got to deal with him again twice a year. And they've already been down that road of what happens when you cut DeSean Jackson and he resurfaces in your division. So I think that all those factors influence whatever the Eagles are going to do, because at the end of the day, they're still running a football team that's trying to win games, manage a salary cap, make good decisions. And yeah, if he was just a guy that had walked through the door on an undrafted rookie contract, he'd be walking right out the door immediately. It's a more complicated process, and we see that all the time in sports, depending upon who you are. I say it all the time. Excuses are made for the stars, and examples are made out of the scrubs.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, real quickly before we let you go, opt out. You think any players will opt out if it becomes official for the NFL, NFLPA, and they agree on this? Do you expect players to not, that will be fearing this thing, or what do you expect?
Well, usually I say no player is going to walk away from that ability to play football and get paid to play football. Look at what happened in the 1987 strike. It all fell apart. People started crossing the picket line, and then it imploded after the replacements came in. And that's kind of what's going on here. If you opt out, they're going to find somebody else. And so I have that on one side of the ledger. On the other side of the ledger, you've got very real concerns for some of these guys, their own personal health conditions. You have guys who have diabetes. You have guys who have had cancer. You have guys who have family members, maybe a pregnant wife, maybe a child with asthma. And I think there will be some. And J.J. Watt was on my afternoon podcast earlier this week, and he made a good point. Whoever does it, let's not shame the guy. Let's not criticize the guy. Let's not, you know, the fantasy football people out there who all of a sudden are down one of their starting running backs if it comes to that. Let's not throw stones, because it's got to be agonizing. If a player does it, it's got to be agonizing to give up a year of doing the thing that he loves to do. Sure. And if somebody actually does take it that far and does make that kind of a step, it is drastic, it is extreme, and he is going to be tormented by that, not just this season, but probably for the rest of his life. What could I have done in that year that I chose not to play football when I was healthy enough to play? So I think there will be some, and I think we need to be extra understanding of the guys who make that decision.
Mike, thank you as always, man. Appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. That was Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. You ready for some Brett McMurphy? Get everybody caught up on some good college football stuff and what we're looking at right now with the big decision made in the Big Ten. We'll be right back.